Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I'd like to speak to you about the concept of hope. Advent means coming, and the coming of Christ is our hope in his blood. If you walk carefully through each reading for Advent, you'll see a threefold focus on the coming of Christ, and also for the hope that we have in his name. The coming of Christ, as he did once, born of a virgin. He was born to save you from your sins. The coming of Christ later in his earthly life, as he came into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey. And there he came with the hope of the world on his shoulders to outstretch those arms and give his life to save you from your sin. The coming of Christ to us each week, though in different places, coming in his word and sacrament, that we might be sustained in hope in what he has done for us. And finally, the hope of his glorious return one day, where he will fulfill our hope and bring salvation to those who live in his name. Hope is a rather common word for us, but not always used the way the Bible does. For instance, whenever we get together with our families, we hope to have a nice time. I tell you, in Minnesota, we hope we have nice weather. It's not very often. No, I mean, I really mean this. Oh, in the best of years, we see negative 60 degrees at least once. And the farmer's almanac is telling us it's going to be an especially bad winter. I hope they are wrong. But this kind of hope is not anything certain. Saying, I hope you have a nice day, I hope you feel better soon, we might mean it, but it's really what we want. Sometimes it's wishful thinking, but that's not the kind of hope you have in Jesus Christ. The kind of hope you have in Jesus is one that is certain, it is solid, and you've got the promise of the Son of God that backs it up. And it's the hope of the resurrection from the dead and a perfect new life with your God forever and ever, world without end. Amen. But when hope is what you have, it doesn't just happen. It isn't just like, well, I guess what I wanted just came to be. No. Like, if you have a hope that your loved ones remain in the truth of Christ and receive eternal life on the last day through his blood, then it really means we prepare for it. We prepare for it by having relationships of conversation, of hope that we have, loving Christ, and the certain hope that we have that he will raise us from the dead and give us a new and a perfect life. Not because we deserve it, because we don't, but because it was the Father's good pleasure to save you from your sins. In the same way, the hope of the world carried to the cross and Jesus Christ, it did not just happen. God was working towards this end to save you for thousands of years. For thousands of years, God was planning to redeem you. So your hope in Christ does not rest upon your shoulders, but the one who was crucified in the place of the skull, who suffered and died on that cross and prayed for you and the people of all the world. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because though you could not justify yourself before God, God has declared you holy and righteous in his Son Jesus. And that is why hope in Jesus is certain and not wishful thinking. Believe in this hope that you have been given. Take the disciples of Jesus, for instance. Two of them are sent to go and find a donkey that they do not own, that Jesus does not own, and say, take it for Jesus' purpose. And say, if anyone, questions you, say the Lord has need of it. Now, if they didn't have hope in Jesus, are they going to believe that word? If they don't have hope in Jesus, are they going to go take something that doesn't belong to them? Might get a centurion involved in jail, a Roman jail or prison might be in their near future. Roman jails were not a nice place. Your own family and friends had to bring you food and water because the Romans sure weren't going to give it to you. Their hope in Jesus was so much that they believed not only in him, that his word was true. That they weren't going to find themselves accused of theft by following his command. You believe in Jesus. You have hope in his name that he has saved you from sin with his blood. And that's why you're here. That's why you're here this morning, because you have hope in the Son of God that he really will give you that blessed resurrection from the dead, his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And he does so because you believe his promise that he truly does love you. And it is living in this hope that you look towards the day where he will come once more. Until then, you live in hope, because that's all you have. But it's also all you need. But is living by nothing but hope always easy? I hardly think so. Because what you have to do when all you have is hope is you wait, and you wait, and wait some more. Wait for what, though? Wait for the hope of Jesus to come to you, and for it to be fulfilled, to give you a new life. And while you wait, you also trust that God's way is best, that he really does know what is best, and then what he says to you in his word is actually what is good for you and is best for you. So we wait and we trust. And while we wait and trust and hope, we want God's will to be done. We desire for our God to come to us and save us. Why? Because if we do not have hope in Christ, then what do we have? We've got nothing, absolutely nothing. Can you even separate your life from the hope that you have in Jesus? And if you can imagine that, look at what it will lead you to. Complete and utter despair. What do we have? The sin of this world. We have our own sinful pride, sinful desires. We have nothing but things that do not last. I mean, what will the comfort of this world give you when you face death? Nothing. But what does hope in Jesus Christ give you? The confidence and the certain knowledge that your death and those of your loved ones in Christ is truly swallowed up in victory, the victory of the Son of God, who's died in your place and has risen from the grave to give you eternal life. So what's our alternative to hope? First, consider those disciples once more. Say they're Peter and John, for instance, who Jesus sends to get the donkey. If they don't have hope in Jesus, what could they have done? Well, Jesus, I don't really believe we're not going to get arrested for this, so we're going to go back to those boats, catch some fish, and not worry about catching men any longer. And if they'd done that, they would have been away from Jerusalem, away from Jesus, never received the Lord's Supper, never seen or heard of his resurrection, and where he actually gave them the word of forgiveness after he'd risen from the dead. And that would have left those disciples without Jesus in utter despair, because then they still needed a Savior and they'd miss the one who'd come. Now, consider Jesus, though. Jesus could have considered the hope of the world that he carried for you to be something, well, I don't know about this cross business. This sounds pretty terrible to me. What about I just, you know, go somewhere else? I mean, I'm sinless. I have nothing to worry about. But no, he did not, because the hope of the world that he carried for you was so great and so important to him, the Son of God, that he took your place and bore the wrath of God for you. So what's your alternative to hope? Sure, it'd be easy to go and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But the problem is, tomorrow we die. And if we don't have hope in Jesus, then we don't have hope in anything. The hope that you have been given is a tremendous and great gift of God. And you can see that without it, you really have nothing. But what reason do you have for this hope? And this is important. The Apostle Peter will write in his second epistle, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So what is the reason for your hope? The Son of God himself tells you that he is your hope. And beyond this, there's the fact that his apostles were willing to suffer and die so that the testimony of faith in Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead may go into all the world and to each of you. The prophets of Jesus bore witness to him. Even today, one is quoted by Matthew in his gospel from Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Not only this, but for 2,000 years, the martyr's blood has cried out that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the hope of the world, and he is the one who can and has saved you from sin by the blood of his cross. But to have hope doesn't mean you understand everything. You've got to be far wiser than me to understand everything. And maybe you are far wiser than me, but I still don't think you understand everything God says. I don't. Your pastor doesn't. I actually haven't met a single pastor who does because they don't exist. Our lives in Christ are continually to grow in the knowledge of God, of his will, and to be strengthened in this hope that he gives us. To look at the people of Jerusalem is a good indication of this and shows us that we are ever to draw near to our God and trust and hope and in love, knowing that he will sustain us. We are shown by the words of the gospel that those people in Jerusalem, they really didn't have the whole picture about Jesus. They knew Jesus was the king, knew Jesus was a prophet, but savior from sin, well, maybe not, or maybe not all of them. But consider what would happen after Jesus is raised from the dead and everyone's talking that Jesus is alive. And like, I remember, I always knew he was the Christ, I knew it. You can just imagine them saying this. But what were they looking for? And it shows us that we don't always look for the right thing from Jesus. Maybe we need to really delve into his word to really be led by not our will, but his will. Not our ways, but his way. The people of Jerusalem and all Israel, really, they're looking for probably a king like David. You know, David, you know, slashing people with a sword, killing thousands of Philistines, maybe overthrowing the Romans and getting rid of them so that Israel can go back to the good old days where they're in charge and everyone else bows at their feet, like with Solomon. But that's not why Jesus has come. Jesus has come to save, not from Rome, but from sin. But still, the people of Jerusalem, they understand that Jesus is the promised one, the prophet that was to come. And maybe they don't have the whole picture yet. Maybe they don't really see that Jesus is actually the Son of God yet. But they know that their hope is in Jesus. And they demonstrate this by the words they say at his coming, how the disciples laid their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to sit upon, how the people of Jerusalem laid their cloaks upon the ground for the donkey to walk across, and how they wave palm branches before him as he comes. And the palm branch in the Roman world was an ancient sign to wave that the victory of the king as he returns home. Jesus is their promised king, and he's yours. But he's not a king of this world in the sense of earthly power and might. Jesus is a king, the only true king, the king of heaven and earth and of all creation. But he's not one that came to kick Pilate out of Jerusalem, but one to kick Satan out of heaven and to dethrone him from ever trying to accuse you, redeemed in his blood, ever again. And this is your hope, that your King Jesus has overthrown the accuser. The devil no longer can accuse you. Why? Because you wear the robe of his righteousness. You are washed in his holy blood. So try as you might, devil, take your best shot, because you can't have me, because I belong to God, his son Jesus, and he has saved me with the most valuable currency of all. It's not silver and gold. It's the blood of the Lamb. Your King Jesus is a king of love, and he loved you so much that he gave his life in your place. He suffered God's wrath so you never would. He endured death upon a cross so that death will pass over you. Jesus is your King of mercy. And he was born in Bethlehem to bring peace with God. There was war between man and God. Jesus brings that to an end with his death for you. You have peace with God because Jesus has given you hope by what he has done. So finally, I ask you today, what is your hope in Jesus? Everyone speak at once, I'll answer for you. Your hope in Jesus is a life that never ends because your soul has been freed from hell's clutches. Your life has been ransomed from the pit of death. Your very being has been redeemed in the blood of Jesus. In the words of St. Paul, your hope is this, that I am certain that neither life nor death, angels nor demons, things present nor things to come, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate you from the love of God and Christ Jesus your Lord. You have the love of God in Jesus Christ, and that is your hope. In the name of Jesus, amen.